And now, it's time for the talk of the Northwest. The 9 to Noon Show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Yes, indeed. Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. It is a special show as we broadcast live from Dunfanaghy Golf Club here in, obviously, Dunfanaghy. It's a beautiful setting. I'll tell you, there's not a breath of air. And I would say that's very rare to be teeing off here with no wind. I see our own Kenny Harkin away out playing golf now. He's teeing off at 10 past 9, accompanied by the CEO, Sean Quinn, while we're all here trying to earn a crust and keep you entertained. But anyway, that's how the other half live, and we're happy enough with that. Listen, come here, stay with us for the next 3 hours, because we've got lots coming up. They are hosting the Ronald McDonald House Golf Classic here today, and it's to raise funds for Ronald McDonald House. Many of you listening would know exactly the function it provides, and it's really, really important. It's a great help to families going through very difficult times with their young people in their lives. We'll hear more about the work that they do and what their plans are for the future, I suppose, especially with the eventual opening of the Children's Hospital. Right, our Friday panel's in studio with me right now. I'll introduce them after I invite you to get involved in the conversation. 086 60 25,000, that's the WhatsApp and text number. That's all business as usual. They come straight to us here in Dunfanaghy. You can give us a call on 074 91 25,000, or if you prefer, email comments@highlandradio.com. And if you want to watch the show, all our guests in studio, as you can imagine, go on to your smart TV or your Fire Stick. We're on the YouTube app, Highland Radio Ireland. We're on the X platform, Highland Radio, and across our Facebook pages as well. Let's say good morning to our guests, Magella McFadden, manager of the Chrysler Community Association Links Hub. Good morning to you, Magella. Thank you so much for calling over.
Thank you, Greg. Good morning.
A wee short jaunt for you.
Yeah.
Not too bad at all. Okay. Yeah. Councillor Michael McClafferty, who's Cahirlock of the Glenties Municipal District. I'm not sure I've spoken to you since you were elevated to that position. Congratulations and good morning to you.
Morning, Greg. Thank you. And good morning, listeners.
Okay. And also we have John Seamus O'Farrey, Sinn Féin Councillor in the Glenties Municipal District. Good morning to you.
Margie White, Greg.
Thank you so
much. Be here.
No, it's great for us all to be here, I suppose. Magella, lots of kids getting their, or young people and adults as well, getting their leaving cert results today. It's probably feels like the biggest day of their lives ever. And I suppose, as we know, as we get older and move a little further away from that age, we realise it's perhaps not quite as significant, but a big, important day. Any good memories for you?
You know, look, it's that long ago. I'm trying to forget. But look, it's a huge day. It is a huge day for the kids around the county and around the country, and I just want to take the opportunity to wish them all well. And it's not, I would like to say that it's not the be-all and end-all. There are so many other opportunities out there now, so many avenues that these kids can take. It's daunting because some of them will be moving cities now, maybe moving to other countries, depending on the results that they've received. But I would just like to wish them well, and hopefully the kids that took their grinds down in the community hub in Chrysler will be successful.
Okay, that's
as well.
One tick for the hub. Okay, yeah. That was already mentioned. Yeah, indeed, and we're lucky in that compared to when I didn't do my leaving, sir. I left before that, but there are so many alternative options now, in fairness to the government, to sort of find the career path that you really wanted to go down on. What kind of a student were you, John Seamus?
I was very intelligent.
What went wrong? No, I'm only joking.
No, I did enjoy attending school. I didn't miss many days at all. Coming to exam time, there wasn't much pressure.
So it did come kind of easy to you, did it?
It came of easy to me. Probably I didn't feel that the exams were that important as they are today. There's a lot of pressure on young people today to get results, to get into colleges. And, you know, the mental factor as well, all the time, and you think of 5 years. When you attend school, and this is the final outcome that you get your exams, and to get a good job in Ireland today is pretty hard. Like
it is, but the one thing I've noticed, and it's speaking often to tradespeople, is the ones coming behind them. You know, I'm chatting to carpenters, mechanics, those who work on stuff like lawnmowers and boat engines or whatever, and they're looking around going, well, who's coming through now? It's all been about IT. It's all been about, you know, these highly skilled jobs, which is a nonsense phrase, really, because, you know, some of the work that we're talking about here, you really need to be incredibly skilled to do it. But I do wonder if there's going to be sort of a practical, if that's the right way of putting it, sort of work gap coming through.
Yeah, well, I think there's not enough apprenticeships happening at the moment in relation to electricians and carpenters and stuff like that. We have a housing crisis here at the moment, and it's very difficult to get people to come into the building industry. I know myself that my son has emigrated to Glasgow. There's very little people from Donegal, youths, heading to Glasgow now looking for work. And as you mentioned, IT, but the general work that was happening years ago and which is still happening today is and development of housing and other areas, that it's all young people geared towards, as you said, Greg, towards the IT.
And even something like electricians, a lot of electricians are pivoting to solar panels and wind farms as well, because there's big money in that. Councillor McClafferty, what's your memories of school?
Memories of school, I wasn't a very good pupil at school, to be
honest. Thankfully, I found someone I've got something in common with.
Oh, yeah, I don't have a leaving either, Greg, for me, and using the one boat as such. But yeah, to be fair, I did struggle with school. I did generally struggle with school, to be fair, Greg. Got through it as best I could, like, same as yourself, but like I say, like yourself, I'm in that boat as well, just left early and didn't do a leaving. Obviously went into construction, that was the sort of work going at the time. Followed on then shortly by quarry work for a long time, which I really enjoyed, machines and stuff. And look, as John says in Magellus, there is plenty of opportunities. You know, even, look, first of all, congratulations to everybody today that's doing their leaving, say it's getting the results. Hope they all do well. But even if everybody doesn't get to the exact points that they want, it's not the end of the world. There's plenty of avenues to go down.
Yeah.
There's different routes now. It's different to the time that we were going as such. You didn't have those avenues, but you have today.
Yeah. Talking of building, we were speaking yesterday about developments in the Milford electoral area, and given the fact that there's an ongoing hose ban pipe there, there's concerns over the water supply in parts of the Glenties Municipal District, obviously the rest of the Letterkenny Milford District, and even up in Ishone. You know, we're talking about having people to build houses. I'm particularly concerned, and I'll stay with you and then work back the other way. I'm particularly concerned at the lack of water infrastructure, and, you know, Irish Water have the veto on new connections. You know, with the best will in the world, that's going to be and remains, sorry, our biggest hindrance to development.
Oh, absolutely, Greg, going forward, it is. For sure, and that's shining through at the minute, because we have a situation in Fulcair at the minute that myself and John and our other colleagues here work closely on, but myself and John mostly in Dunnes here because we're beside it, where we have 30 houses in Fulcair at the minute just basically sitting in no man's land over Irish water restrictions. And the way it is at the minute, I think it's fair to say, John, that there's a good chance those houses may not continue on, which is very sad, to be fair. Over Irish Water, but the way I look at it, Irish Water is to get full control now, apparently, before Christmas time from Donegal County Council. They're supposed to have it signed over complete to them. It's up to Irish Water to the difficulties for Fulcaire, Christian and Fanny.
But in the infrastructure, but what's the plan, though? That's the problem, right?
Yeah, so, but they don't have a plan. I'm saying, like, they don't seem to have a plan, but they refuse at the same time, Greg, to meet with myself, meet with John, meet with our four other colleagues, and sit around the table in the Glenties MD to see how things are going forward.
You get one meeting a year, isn't it? Effectively, three to four
that they agree on, but it's only a box ticking exercise.
Yeah, so where are, I mean, if we can't connect to the water system, how are we going to provide the housing that's so desperately required, John Seamus?
Well, it's absolutely ridiculous. This company cost $880 million to establish. The infrastructure we have, and there's no long-term planning at all. When you think of the infrastructure that's in the area we're talking about, Fulcair and Gidore as well, the pipes are in the ground for the last 40, 50 years, and there's no plan for pipe replacement at all, which is a big issue. because they're in for 40 years. There's breakages or bursts every few days in the Fulcarran-Gidor area. A few years ago, and this started in 2008, regarding a new sewer system in Fulcarra, that still hasn't progressed. There was a contract given out in 2016. To date, nothing has happened. We were waiting for a foreshore licence. It was going to take 18 months. So judging by that, it'll be 2030, 20 years behind, since this project will be finished. Again, as my colleague said, Michael McCrafferty, we'll be meeting them shortly on the 10th of September in Donegal Town, by the way, and not in our own municipal district. And we're given an hour and a half to discuss issues. We have to put the questions in beforehand. I have submitted a number of questions to Irish Water. To me, it's Irish Dribble, they should be called. But at the end of the day, they're not investing. And as Michael said, they sit around the table, listen to us, box texting, exercise, and that's it. And I did have a question in relation to the government funding that was recently announced for infrastructure and water. How much of that money is coming to Donegal?
But even you need a plan, and there doesn't seem to be a plan. I mean, it could be, you say it's Irish Dribble, it could be Irish Where's the Water, because half of it is treated and we lose it. Yeah. Did you want to come back in there before I go to Magella, Michael?
Yeah, thanks, Greg. Well, as John says, rightly so, look, the bottom line is here, whether it's Donegal or some other county, Irish Water need to sit down round the table with the councillors of the day and their local areas, Greg, and see what's happening on the ground going forward with the councillors, with the people. We will fight hard for it here at the minute, but we cannot stand back and 30 houses get lost in Fulcarra. Actually, 29 houses and a group care home, to be fair, to be exact about it. We cannot let that happen. And Irish Water, to be fair as well, should not be allowed either to get away with that. But at the minute, they are, because they're failing to meet with us. So, as John says, we're meeting them now on the 10th of September. We'll see how things go that day. I'm not hopeful of very much coming out of it, but... because, as I say, it's a box taking exercise that day, but I really do believe they need to come a separate day to Fulcarra or the Glantys MD, meet with ourselves, meet with our TDs, meet with our senators, and meet with the general public as well, and let the public know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I'm told, too, that sometimes, even if you have specific questions, the answers aren't specific, that they can be grouped in and sort of general.
But even in relation to the planning, Greg, they developed a pump house there in Ardsbeg, to the tune of maybe 2 to 3 million. That has not worked effectively since the day it was built. There's always problems with it, and when that is down, the whole parish of Clonmel is down, which is not good enough.
Well, I know some of the councillors put up the water outage notifications, and I was going to go down that route on my own Facebook page, but they're so frequent.
Yeah.
That, and then there's such a lack of update that you put something out there and then it's when the water comes back on that you get a further update, and it's not good information or useful information to share. And I suppose, Magella McFadden, you know, you and I are on the receiving end of this, and our families, you know, the two guys here are councillors and they're battering away with Ishka Éireann and all that, but it's, you know, we're going to see the depopulation of the county if we can't build houses for our young people. And I'll just ask you to come a little bit closer to that mic, if that's okay. You know, it's a worry, Magella.
Look, we're very fortunate that we have the likes of Councillor McCrafferty and John Hamish that are speaking up for us. What I can't understand is how these people are unreachable, we can't get them around the table. Chrysler, fortunately, we don't seem to have the problems that the Ardsbeg, Gador and Fulcarra areas are having. But it's really about communication here and getting these guys around the table. And again, I can't understand why this is so difficult.
Yeah. Well, when it was under the auspices of the council, mm-hmm. there's people you could contact. These guys could get answers to questions. You know, you could sort of maybe try and influence plans and stuff. But now, you know, our own local authority members get one meeting a quarter, and a lot of them come out of it not satisfied with that meeting. I mean, that's troublesome.
And it seems to be a common occurrence, perhaps. If our councillors can't get these meetings, then what hope to the general public have?
Yeah. Okay, we are in the company of our Friday panel. It is Councillor Michael McClafferty, Magella McFadden and Councillor John Hamish O'Ferry.
Highland Radio Time Checks brought to you by Airgrid, the operator and developer of Ireland's electricity grid. Airgrid, powering up communities, powering up Ireland. The time is...
The time now is... where is the time? It is 9.20. Can you turn them down a little bit for me, if you don't mind, please? Thank you. A caller says H1s account for 11.7% of grades compared to 14.3% last year. Is it fair that this is known in the media before the kids have the results at 10 a.m? I don't see how it impacts them, to be honest with you, because it is a nationwide average over, you know, close on 70,000 students. I take your point, but I think it's no harm. It's an indication. Greg, every one of the houses in rural Donegal could have rainwater harvesting. We put it in last year. Nobody should be waiting on Irish Water to do anything. They are profit. They are a profit-driven company who will try and cut costs at every turn. Just one brief thing on that before we move on. Magella McFadden, manager of the Creaslough Community Association, links up. I mean, if you look at trends in rainfall, and I'm not about, you know, the climate, not the weather, you know, this idea of us catching rain on the surface of the ground and then pumping it around the place, you know, it's not going... I don't think that's going to be successful into the long term. I know Irish Water are looking at other ways of doing it, but, you know, it rains very little in Portugal and Spain. Lots of listeners might be familiar with it, yet there's no shortage of water. We need to do things differently, do we?
Well, I can only compare it to Australia, and when it rained there, it did rain, but not for much of the year, and they use these rainwater tanks, and I don't see why that would not work here, Greg, and why we're not supporting the infrastructure around that and providing grants and funding towards the rainwater tanks. This country rains most of the year.
Well, we are going to have to think of different ways. What do you think, Michael McClafferty?
Yeah, absolutely, Greg, 100%. Well, at the end of the day, I've said many times to Irish Water, we can start by at the minute... our reservoirs that we have at the moment, either refurbish them or make them bigger, or if they can't do that, build brand new ones. That'll be a good starting point. But at the minute, that's all falling on deaf ears. Nobody's taking that on board. They're not listening. Because we seem to have a situation that we're probably the wettest county in Ireland, to be fair, when it is raining. We're probably certainly the wettest country in the EU, I would nearly imagine, when it's raining. And yet we have all this rain falling free out of the sky, and the powers that be can't think outside the box. You know what? We should be trying to capture all of this, as you've alluded to yourself, Magella's alluded to, with the water tanks. So I do believe, first of all, going forward, capturing it going forward, making our reservoirs bigger, would certainly be a big help to start with, because we see these days with Ards Beg at the minute, and I know there's some people in Fulcara this morning without water as we speak, on the outskirts of Fulcara there, as from last night, due to the, as John talked there, about the Ards Beg plant giving problems. That's giving problems because the reservoir going into is not big enough to capture enough of water. So when that happens, then the plant itself knocks off, then the computer system of the plant knocks off, then, and it's not as handy as just hitting a switch again, flicking a switch, putting it back on. There's a whole sequence of events that you have to go through. So, like there, for example, probably Clonhilly is the biggest, alongside Newton, maybe, to be fair, and his own, will be the three biggest areas in Donegal that are affected by water. And our situation down here, the majority of it, Greg, alongside the bus, is the reservoir is not big enough.
Yeah, okay. We learned during the week that zero fines have been issued for dog littering in County Donegal. It's the same right across the country, really. Less than 100 across all of the various areas. John Hamish O'Ferry, Sinn Féin councillor in the Glenteasy Municipal District. You know, this is a blight on our county. It annoys people. It annoys everyone. It annoys particularly, you know, walkers, people with kids, people pushing prams, people in wheelchairs, you know, visually impaired people using sticks, and it very much looks like we don't take it seriously. Who's responsible for it? Is it dog wardens? Is it the council? Is it Gardaí? And is it not time we got tough on it? There's no deterrent.
Well, it's the council, the litter warden and the dog warden that's implementing the fines. Again, as you said, Greg, the fines are very, very small that were given out to people. But on a daily basis, we have a huge amount of people using the beaches, even in our streets here, Dunfanaghy, Fulcara, Letterkenny. There's dog fouling non-stop. And as you said, there should be probably And we in Glasgow there a number of weeks ago, I was over, my son has two dogs, and I was given doggy bags when I go out with a walk with them. There's bins already on the street to put your bag in after you dispose of it. And I think it's a huge county, Donegal, and if we are to implement this, we need to employ more litter wardens or dog file wardens within the area, and have the fines probably increased.
No, we have zero enforcement. So one would be a 100% increase. That's a sad state of affairs, isn't
yeah.
it? Magella McFadden, you know, I mean, it's so unnecessary. And we're talking about a tiny minority of dog owners. This is the crazy thing, right? The majority of dog owners love their animals. They'd almost wipe their bums, and I don't mean that badly, right? But they're so fond of their animals. This is a small group of individuals that do not care less about other people. They don't make a connection between, you know, what their dog is doing and the impact it has on other people.
That's right. I would say that enforcement is challenging. I think putting more dog wardens on the ground, I don't think is going to make a huge difference. And the reason I think that is that just to identify you have to be there when the offence is committed, identify the owner and bring that all to the courts. I don't think that's going to work. We had this problem.
Can I say why it might work, though, right? Is that, say, for instance, we're discussing this, and I was able to say 700 fines were issued last year. You're not going to get everyone, but if there was a level of enforcement, it might, you know, maybe those people, if they think possibly someone could see them, it might change their. I'm not contradicting you, but I mean, I would like to try it before we sort of say, nah, that's not going to work, if that makes sense.
Okay, but we have that at the moment, and it's not working. Mm. So I would go back to Creasla again, where we had the problem in the past.
Yeah.
Fairly significant problem. But we erected signs. We talked about putting bins in place and the bags. But then you come to the issue of who's going to clear these bins, who's going to look after that. Do you leave it to your community members? We have a Tidy Towns committee that take great pride in the village, and there's been a huge improvement over the last number of years in the village, and I think that's down to the community itself looking around, being vigilant, and the dog owners just becoming a bit more aware that yes, they are being watched, people are looking out, and they're taking a bit of pride in their community. So I think it's a community driven, community led initiative that needs to happen when it comes to dog fouling.
A caller says it's a matter of entitlement. They may believe that the rules don't apply to them. The mindset is often tied to a broader lack of respect for public spaces and community. And are these the same people that will park in a parking space reserved for someone with a disability? Do they not care about the world beyond themselves, Michael?
Yeah, that seems to be the case. All right, Craig, to be fair. I suppose, look, there's a number of things can be done here. First and foremost, whoever is owner of the dog out walking the dog, obviously your dog should be in a lead. You should have your doggy bags, which is John alluded to there, to have in Scotland. As you know, I work in a shop, and to be fair about it, we ain't selling many doggy bags, to be fair. It's terrible, that's the way it is. And you go to the footpath, then there are messes here, messes there. Times I see it myself, I go out, I just go back in, I get a pair of gloves, whatever, I go out and lift it and throw it in the bin for the sake of keeping things tidy. But also for the sake of, as well, Greg, in the more serious matter, the disease as well that's caused by dog feces toxicosis as such. That, for example, small children, if they happen to come in contact with this with their hands, wherever, and goes from their hands then to their face, to their eye, it can cause blindness. And I do wonder, like, there's a lot of dog owners not realise that's what the danger they can cause or the danger they can do. Like, we live in a small seaside village here, Dunfanaghy, same as Creasla, pretty much same as Fulcara. But I see there on a daily basis from the shop window, you have a lot of wee toddlers, small children up to maybe 4 or 5. Some of them these days now start to be about in their tricycles, their prams, obviously mum or dad pushing them, an odd one there with their go-karts and so on. They're not conscious of what's dirt's lying on the footpath as such. They're bringing that then back home and can accidentally make it their way then into their houses, to their homes. But we just appeal to all, when you're out with your dogs, have your doggy bags with you and lift the mess. Also as well, Greg, the county of Donegal, we have approximately, I understand, maybe up to 30,000 dogs And we have only two dog wardens for the county. I understand there's counties in Ireland smaller than Donegal, much smaller, much less population, clearly much less dogs. They have up to four dog wardens.
Yeah, okay, so, I get you. I don't know why we don't have more. But the problem we have, John Hamish, is that we tend to avoid putting infrastructure because we don't have any plan to maintain it. And I'll back that up with an example. There's many beaches around this county, Merva, Rosnala and others, that there are no bins for dog waste. And is it the fact that we're not putting the bins in for no bins for dog waste is because then we don't have a plan to empty them? Who empties them? Because it looks terrible, right, when the bin's full. And I've seen bins where there's dog poo sitting on top of the bin because the bin is full. And I do wonder, and it's the same with, we've seen bins coming out of towns because it seems that we don't have a maintenance plan for them. And that's terrible, really, isn't it?
Well, Greg, regarding the council collect bins on a Monday and a Friday. Yesterday I had an issue in Gidore, and they're lifting the bin today. But you're 100% right. But there's two issues in relation to the bin. It's the council that collects them at the beaches. And when we do leave bins out, it's only enticing then other people for illegal dumping regarding bins as well.
But how do they deal with that in other countries?
How do you deal with it in other countries? This is Donegal.
Yeah,
and it is an ongoing issue. Illegal dumping is huge in the last number of years, but Donegal County Council has been addressing this, and they've been issuing a number of fines as well.
For what?
So for
literally
illegal dumping. But in relation to the beaches, yeah. We need to employ more. We have huge influx of tourists coming into the country or into our county as well, using our lovely beaches. But there should be facilities there.
Okay.
Well, but in the relation, pressure is employing people to pick up the dog fouling, employ more people.
Yeah. A caller says, can you ask why there are no bins at Merva Beach or any beach? I took my dog at the weekend and absolutely nowhere to put the poo bag. Go into Inchwalk anymore because of dog fouling. You can't go in there, they say. There's no bin at the beach in Falkara, but one in Dunfanaghy. Why might that be? Another, no fines for dog fouling and no fines for e-scooter uses as well. We don't know the stats on the e-scooters because that's a roads policing issue. Those stats would come from An Garda Síochána. Another texter says, morning, Greg. I live in Newtown Cunningham. Always walk my two dogs there every day. There's a lot of dog poo on the pavement. There is dog bags lying on the side of the road. I would imagine if they had dog poo bins, people would dump the poo bags at the side of the road. What I don't understand is that when someone gets down on the honkers, cleans the poo, puts it into a bag and then chucks the bag into the ditch. I mean, that beggars belief. Okay, keep your texts coming into us, 08660 25000. Call us 2 and 07491 25000. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. We're broadcasting live today, by the way, from the Ronald McDonald House Golf Classic. The main sponsors is iMotors. It was due to take place last month. It was deferred for a month, and my invitation to play was deferred indefinitely for some reason. I was lined up to play, and then no one wanted me to play anymore. Whatever happened, I don't think I fell out with anyone. But it's okay. I'm not upset about it, Michael. Don't worry. I don't need a hug. That's the worst part of it, carrying bags, imagine. Magella McFadden, how close now are you keeping on the presidential election? Do you have someone in mind? You know, and it I don't even think really it would necessarily indicate what your political allegiance were, if any, but you know, who for you, if you've come on someone, so to speak, do you think would be a good successor to Michael D. Higgins? Or do you see anyone there that sort of maybe inspires you to an opinion?
Well, to be honest, Greg, politics was never a strong point of mine now, but maybe in the last couple of years, having worked very closely with Michael and John here and our elected representatives, I'm learning. But I definitely won't throw in here and say that I know exactly what I'm talking about. Look, I still don't think there's enough names in the race. I've had a look. I don't think there's enough names in the race to make any sort of fair conclusion. I think I know who I wouldn't vote for.
Yeah, okay.
And but we'll leave that aside. And President Higgins, you know, what a powerful man, and some boots to fill there. Who could fill those boots? I don't know. Maybe Jim McGuinness.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? I think really your answer is quite telling, because you would hope that even for people that are non-political, that this is sort of like a crossover election, so that, you know, arguably if we had five or six in the field, it might make it more easier for you to select one, because
absolutely,
it wouldn't necessarily be aligning with some political leanings that you might have. John Hamish O'Farr, yours is an interesting dilemma, right? Because, I mean, I presume you'd prefer a Sinn Féin president. We don't know who even the nomination or the contestant might be. Would you like to see Mary Lou McDonald hand over the reins to Piers Doherty and enter the presidential election race?
Of course. I know the presidential election, it's a bit early to talk about.
No, that's a strategy of Sinn Féin. Yeah, you can talk,
To talk about a bit early. But Sinn Féin will be sitting down in the next few weeks to discuss the presidential
elections. What's your
elections.
View, though?
My view would be, I think Mary Lou, Michelle O'Neill, Piers Doherty, excellent candidates for president.
Do you see any danger in Mary Lou McDonald potentially, you know, running an unsuccessful election, for an example? What impact might that have on the party? You know, the ramifications.
I think Mary Lou would run a successful campaign if she were to go forward again. Like I said, there's no decision made by the party, Sinn Féin party, in relation to the presidential election. And if we don't run a candidate, we'd be looking at supporting somebody on the left. As Magella alluded to there, we don't know the candidates.
What would your preference be, a Sinn Féin candidate or the party backing a candidate of the left?
Well, I would be going for a Sinn Féin candidate.
And who would
personally.
You prefer that to be?
Probably Mary Lou.
Really? Okay. Interesting. And you don't believe that would have potentially, as I say, she would run a very good campaign, I'm sure. But if it were unsuccessful, you don't believe that could have an impact on the party after a, you know, relatively lackluster last couple of elections,
so,
albeit record breaking for the party?
I don't think so. Sinn Féin is a party that bounces back. We have some great TDs in Dáil Éireann at the moment in the opposition. I'd be saying, you know, Michelle O'Neill's talked about as well that she could throw her hat into the presidential race as well. Michelle's doing fantastic work, and as Mary Lou, I think she's a fantastic candidate if she were to go forward. And we'll just have to wait and see and what the members come up with. Are we going to put forward a candidate or not? And again, we're a party with Irish unity, so we're looking at that as well.
Councillor Michael McLafferty, who would you like to see as the next president?
At the minute, Greg, at the minute, it's too early to say, to be honest. I've no preference.
That's a problem, isn't it? We should be. I mean, I know it's November, isn't it? When is it, Karen? In November or September? Huh? November.
November.
Should we not have more of a idea of who we want? This is not a criticism, it's just an observation, and I think yours is maybe a lot of people listening are indifferent to it.
Yeah, they probably are, to be fair, but I suppose at the minute, because I see the early days, that's why I don't want to say either. I don't want to influence people's minds one way or
why
another.
Why not? Come on.
No, because up to themselves, but I would like to see when the full line
I can
up,
understand
when the
John Hamish being a little
such.
Bit of evasive, but you've no excuse.
I don't know, but I would like to see who the full lineup is, and then you know, take it from there. Then, to be fair to everybody, at the same time, I watch all the candidates as well as Miguel.
Well, we only have one at the moment.
Well, yeah, but it's you know, we'll just see how
Mary McLeish. Mary McLeish came. I'm being a wee bit facetious, I suppose. But Mary McLeish was a very late candidate, a late entrant, and then went on to be, you know, for some people, one of their favourite presidents. Not for everyone, of course, I recognise that. So, you know, it might be in the likes of Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin, or other people to come to the fore later in the campaign, because you can see now the level of scrutiny Fine Gael are getting and others by maybe putting their name in the hat so early. So it's probably not a bad wee strategy to wait. Is it time to get tough on deer? Almost 8,000 were culled last year in this county alone, or the last figures I had, I think that was 24, it could be 23, but anyway, January. 8,000 called last year, and yet still they cause collisions and other inconveniences, you know, and we see it very much around this area we're in at the moment, but right across the county. We don't hear of all the cases, but, you know, these are big animals. They cause serious damage to vehicles, great shock to people, people avoiding them or trying to avoid them. We've a few signs, but, you know, you would have thought if we're culling 8,000, we'd be sort of getting a handle on the problem. I'll start with you on this one, Councillor John Hamish O'Ferry. What do you think we need to be doing that we're not doing?
We need to be coordinating it far better than we are at the moment. When you're driving along and you see a deer lying on the side of the road, probably killed by a vehicle, has that been reported? We don't know. The council come along then and pick it up. You mentioned signage there. When you leave from the bottom of the N56 in Gidore, tell you in Chairman, there's only one sign regarding deer, and I did raise this with the council on a number of occasions to have more signs erected in areas that are prone to deer where they're crossing the road. It's a huge issue, and we're looking for this for quite a number of years now. We're very vocal in this in relation to the deer population. We don't know how many deer population we have in the county.
So we don't know if 8,000 is 4%, 40% or 80%. We have no idea.
We don't have a proper count of the deers, and again the number of accidents that happen. Again, I would appeal to drivers when they're out there using the road, or road users, to think about deer, because you never know. Go around the corner, there's a deer jumping up, three or four of them. We don't think about that. When I'm driving
to the
county...
So just in relation to that, though, you know, our roads are going through their habitat.
Yeah.
I mean, we often say, let's kill more of them, or let's do this, that, and then. Is it a case that we have to take more responsibility to try and reduce the risk alongside a culling programme?
Yeah. I totally agree, but the culling programme needs to happen as well, because we're getting huge amount of deer. Glenway National Park, I know that they're coming from the park and they have fencing and everything, which doesn't work, because they're already here in the west of the county and other areas of the county as well that's infested with deers. Again, the deers attack crops, and farmers are up in arms about this as well. So I think that going forward, the culling, a number of listeners will be here today saying the poor animals, but we have to tackle them. Rather than a road fatality caused by a deer, it's important that we try and cull most of the deers and make our roads safer.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they are big, beautiful animals, but unchecked, the numbers grow incredibly, incredibly quickly. I'll come to you, Michael, in a second. I want Magella's views on this. So you and I are just really road users, I suppose. I haven't really encountered many deer, but that, I can't allow that in any way to frame my opinion, because I know what other people's experiences are.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, whilst I agree there is a problem, I'm from Ards myself, and Ards is inundated, and we know where they are. We know the time of year to be mindful and watch out for them. So I would be saying, look, culling, I know from speaking to the rangers through Glenveagh and for National Parks and Wildlife, culling is one thing, but the method of culling, I don't agree with. I don't agree with it.
That it becomes like the fact that it's going to be a sport for some, really, effectively, isn't it?
For sure. And then you also have the element of the illegal poaching as well. So there are other alternatives, Greg. I think, first of all, there needs to be clear signage that John Hamish alluded to here. We need to have clear signage. Maybe a reduction in the speed, like the speed zones, take it down. We know where they are. And, do you know, in other countries that they've shown that in studies in the UK and in Ireland, the culling does not work unless it's continuous and at a large scale.
And you also have to target the right animals at the right time.
Yes.
There has to be a science to it. There's no point killing young bucks.
No.
You have to kill those that might be...
Or you're killing the stag, you're killing the doe, and then you've got fawns that are orphaned, that are going to die eventually. You've got the way they're culling at the moment. If it's not done correctly, these animals are having long, slow deaths. So, no, I don't agree with that. There are alternatives, and I think motorists, we do need to be vigilant. There's another they're called deer whistles. You can put them on your car. So if you're in areas such as Ballymore, Chrysler Ards, Dunfanaghy, wherever, and you know these hot spots, these are like 12 or 13 euro on Amazon.
Never heard of them.
Deer whistles.
Never heard of a deer whistle.
So they emit a sound.
Okay.
And this will
prevent it deters them.
Yeah, it
annoys them.
Yeah.
All right, okay, that's very interesting. Councillor Michael McLafferty, I know you've raised this issue a couple of times, sort of independent of this conversation we're having now. What do you believe could or should be done?
Yeah, well, Greg, firstly, anyway, like Magella says there, I like the deer as much as everybody else, but I respect the fact as well that they have wreaked havoc, as John alluded to there. They have wreaked havoc for farmers, to smash fences, to destroy crops, whatever kind of crops go in, wheat, potatoes, silage, everything like that, everyday stuff that you get. They have done thousands of damage on farmers all through the place. They are dangerous. There have been a lot of cars smashed around here.
So rather than sort of, and this is just for the conversation purposes, so rather than sort of saying, right, farmers, you need to make sure that your land or your crops are secure, we shoot the deer.
Well, Greg, we've no choice at the moment. We're overrun with them all through the place. We've no choice but shoot them. But in saying that, shooting them as well is one thing, calling them is one thing. But like as I've said before to yourself and to other journalists, I believe in whoever's out shooting, shoot to kill, one shot, one kill, that's it. And if need be, like I said before, people can think as mad as they want, but they may have to do this yet, and it may come through this calling programme yet. We need to get in the likes of snipers, the army, in that really know what they're doing. It's like a hunter said to me one day, and I wasn't aware of this. He says to me, he says, you know, do these things right? He says, there's certain bullets you need to use, and I says, right. I said, I thought they all use the same bullets. No, not exactly. Says,
right, I'm just cutting, because Magella winced at the idea of the army snipers coming in.
No. Well, you know, I definitely don't agree there. If you're calling in the likes of this, can we sterilise these animals? You know, it's a dart as opposed to a gun, and calling in snipers and wiping out what's native, by the way, to our country. The red deer is native to this country.
Yeah, but to be fair, I don't disagree with Magella's point either. But to be fair, on the they were introduced here back years ago under Glenveagh through John George Adair. Don't believe they were in Ireland to do that as such. They're all through the place now. National Parks and Wildlife have to come into the conversation here too. They have a big responsibility as well, Greg. A lot of the fencing, 40 kilometres of fencing in Glenveagh, a lot of that is tumbled down, that it wouldn't keep in a cat at the moment, never mind keep in a deer. It is all tumbled down. There's no effort that I can see anyway, particularly if you go to the Glendowen direction.
Yeah, but then with all that, why is it the deer that has to pay the price then? Well, if you know what I mean, if it's down to us or our lack of infrastructural fencing, because yeah, I mean, if we've killed 8,000, do we triple that? I mean, I think down in Cork, I think it's Cork, is it? It's one of the Corks or one of the W's. They did 60,000 deers in a year. Like,
yeah, well, I looked quickly last night. Just before I went to bed, I just googled it quickly. For 2024, over 74,000 deers was reported shot, like, at that time, killed at that time. So that's a hell of a lot of deers. Like, so it just shows the amount, the vast impact of the deers that we have here in Ireland, to be fair. Like, and particularly in Donegal, there must be a serious amount here.
All right, John Seamus.
Yeah. But going back to the snipers, there's a lot of professional hunters out there regarding culling animals. And going back to Magella's point in relation to, you know, the modern technology today, the era we live in, regarding the high-tone whistle, I'm sure that they should bring in something or look at something in relation to a high-pitched sound that would chase the deers away. That's another aspect you could look at.
You see, the problem is we're kind of coming at this from doing nothing, really, at the moment, and we're going straight to the... Is that a deer? No, it's an aeroplane. Why is an aeroplane landing here? Is there...
There is a swallow.
Is there a... Well, okay, that's encouraging. There's a small plane landing, but there is a landing strip. Thank you for your local knowledge. I nearly ran out. I don't think Paul McGinley would come in that little thing. No, I think he might come in a big black helicopter. We are live here from the Dunfanaghy Golf Club. Is it a sport you've ever played, Magella? Or
no,
is it like, someone said it just ruins a good walk?
No, I would have to agree with that too. No, I've never played it. Look, I tried it, but I...
Wasn't no, for you?
Not for me.
John Hamish, what about yourself?
I'd done 2 weeks down in Gidor and...
Tried it for two weeks
and there was more divots than I could hit the ball, so...
I heard you offered a job excavating, is that true?
That's true, yeah.
Okay, what about you, Michael?
No, sorry, Greg.
Well, what do you do first to wind down, then? Do you know,
me?
Yeah.
I like walking, I just walk, basically.
Yeah, what about you, John Hamish? What's your...
I play darts on a Thursday
night.
Do you play darts? It's my free.
All right, very good.
I take 2 hours off or 3 hours off on
a Thursday
night.
Do you know your average,
relax. My average? Yeah. It's all over the board.
Is it? And what about you? What do you do, Magella, to chill? I know I'm asking in the context of these people out here, and I suppose sometimes you look at them and you wonder, do they enjoy it? But what do you do to relax?
I love to get out in the water.
Yeah.
I love to get a bit of kayaking done when the weather suits. And
I was out in a kayak yesterday.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Oh, it's
there's
great.
Something about it. I don't know what it is about the water. Yeah.
Yeah, there's something about the water. So that relaxes me.
All right, okay. Listen, thanks so much for calling over. I don't think it's had to travel a great distance, but it still is very much appreciated. We do really appreciate your time. Councillor Michael McClafferty, thank you very much indeed. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Rob.
Councillor John Hamish O'Ferry, Sinn Féin councillor in the Glenties Municipal District, thank you so much indeed as well. Safe back. And last but certainly not least, Magella McFadden. Thanks, Magella. Okay, that was the Friday panel. Loads of your comments coming in so far this morning. I'll get to those and the weather forecast, in fact, as well.
Highland Radio weather updates with Michael Hinnies. Get back to school sorted with all the essentials from school jumpers to shoes. Visit our kidswear department in store or shop online at michaelhinnies.com today.
Okay, so the weather forecast for today, it's going to be mostly dry today with just a few isolated light showers around. There was a little shower on the way to Dunfanaghy this morning, actually, but it was very fleeting and short-lived. It will, however, though, be rather cloudy overall with just limited brighter sunny spells, highest temperatures of 17 to 19 degrees. Okay, we're very close to the end of the first hour here on the 9 till noon show. I want to thank again our guests for coming up to us. It was lovely to have them in, and thank you so much for all of your texts which have been coming in so far this morning, and I'll get to those after we take a break for the news and obituary notices.